take my words and anoint them by your Holy Spirit, that they would achieve their purposes today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to reframe baptism. No biggie, just start with baptism, and then I wanted to say something about how we perhaps live our lives today and where we are in relation to Christian hope. But in order to make sense of it, I wanted to kind of reposition how we imagine baptism. Because here, for example, here at St. Paul's, before one of my famous predecessors, Marcus, but before him, the font we have at the back is fairly small, and it's fairly shallow. And it would be easy to imagine that baptisms normally take place with a kind of a mere sprinkling over the head, and that's the Anglican way of doing it, which it isn't. So it's not. It is something that's become normal here, but it's not actually, not necessarily the Anglican way of doing things. And so what I wanted to do was take you back to older churches with medieval fonts as a way into this. So if you've ever been to like a medieval church, and I know a good number of you have been, you'll know that the font is huge. It's enormous. It's like that, and it's very, very deep. And there's a reason for that. Because if an infant was being baptized, it had to be fully submerged under the water. So it wasn't a case of just doing a mere dripping of some water over the head. It was full immersion baptism. So it wasn't the Baptists who started out with that. We've been doing that for a rather long time. So the idea was a big font, and the priest would take the baby and would do that, push the baby under the water, and then lift the baby out at the other end. Does that make sense? It's a very vivid way of thinking of things, and that's exactly the purpose of it. So I wanted to kind of explain that a little bit. In my own children's case, they were a bit older when they were baptized, and they were baptized in a pool. So we got a pool into the church, and so they were fully immersed into it, and they were dunked three times. As we sprinkle the water three times, a Trinitarian approach, they were dunked three times. My youngest son found the water too cold and was had enough with just once. But we just covered him in water anyway for the other two times. But again, the imagery is graphic because in full immersion baptism, the candidate basically has to stand like that, and then they are tipped back and are fully submerged into the water. They are buried in the water. And then they are lifted out again. And that is the imagery that I want you to take hold of. It's very vibrant. It's very, very colorful in its way of demonstrating it. And it's to illustrate the truth that Drina was reading to us from the letter to the church in Rome. That we have died to ourselves and are raised to a new life in Christ. And I know I'm dwelling on baptism, but there will be a connection, there will be a logic to this in a minute. Baptism anticipates our death as well. It's a multi-layered thing. And so the idea is that when we are buried in Christ, we are raised to a new life. That isn't just in the here and now. That is actually saying that that is our status from here through to eternity. That when we come to a place of faith, eternal life has begun. And that resets things. Because so often we think about our death and what comes after that. But actually this would suggest that there's in some profound way a continuation of our relationship with God that continues beyond the veil of death. And that I find hugely hopeful and inspiring. Because your life does not finish with death. Now that may sound Irish, and I'm entitled to say that. But it isn't. It is actually about the fact that we are born, and when we are reborn at you know, point of faith, that our life with God continues forever thereafter. We have this present age, and then there is the age to come beyond that, where we have new resurrection bodies. And again, I find that a hopeful thing. If you think about the, I know I mentioned this, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, about the resurrection body. Think about Jesus for a second. We know that his body had become disfigured through the punishment before and during crucifixion. That people saw that his body had become so disfigured that they couldn't bear to look at him, which fulfilled a prophecy from Isaiah. So we have that, this disfigured body. And yet, when it comes to the resurrection, clearly he has a new body and yet retains the marks of crucifixion. There's something about the wounds of crucifixion, taking those into heaven to be in the very presence of God, in the heart of God, that I think gives us hope. In our prayers that we do online, morning and evening, in the evening we have this idea that our grief is veiled. Hold us in your wounded hands. And that wounded hands are those that understand pain and suffering. And I know I say this a lot, but for us to remember that whatever we are feeling, whatever we have gone through, whether it be the peaks of joy or the depths of despair, we have a God who can identify and empathize with you. Whether your body is racked with pain, whether you have felt betrayed, let down, felt you've been treated unjustly and unfairly, you've been disowned by your family, etc., etc., etc. Take your pick about all of those things. You are in good company because the God with these wounded hands can understand that and can walk with you. It's been often said that in order for someone to fully understand, they need to have walked in your shoes. Truly, this God whom we worship is someone who has walked in those shoes and understands pain and suffering as well as joy and hope. So where does that leave us then in terms of where we are going forward? Well, it also tells us about what we believe for others as well. Imagine for a moment that those that we love and we care for. Do we believe that they are in the nearer presence of God? I want you just to think about that for a moment. We live with veils. Despite our best endeavors, we know that we're not loved fully because nobody knows us completely. And yet, what we find for those who have passed through the veil of death is that they now are before God fully known and that they know that they are fully loved. Imagine that for you. Imagine if you knew fully, truly, in your innermost being, that every insecurity, every doubt, every fear has found its answer. How would you feel? I suspect you'd be dancing. I suspect you would be having a party. I would suspect you would be singing heartily. And these are all images of heaven. The images of heaven we have are all ones of celebration, of party, of fun, of joy, of laughter, and of being loved. We're here in this present age. Those we love and we come to remember have moved through the veil of death. And oh, what rejoicing they must be experiencing. So as we go through this time of remembering, while we will feel the loss and not of them not here with us, we can also be comforted in knowing, A, that Jesus, the God whom we worship, can empathize with how you're feeling. If you're having a good day or you're having a bad day, God in Christ can understand that and is there to walk with you. And then we think about the Christian hope going forward, which is that there will be a new heaven and a new earth where there is no more suffering, no more pain, no more political rivalries, no more racial divisions, no more poverty, where justice is the norm and God is known fully. That sounds pretty special to me. And in these days, when frankly it can feel a little bit stressy, anybody else feeling slightly anxious by the world today? So we have that. This Christian hope about the future helps us remain sane today. Maybe not more than that, but it helps us to remain sane today when we think that this is, no matter how deep and how bad this gets, this is not the end of the story. But the story of God's grace has already been established, and it's one of beauty and hope and justice. Amen. We've lit the candle, so don't worry, so that bit's done. But this candle was lit to remind us that when God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, he defeated the power of death, and his light shines in the midst of the darkness of this world. Now, we come to just another bit of liturgy. May the lights of Christ, rising in glory, banish all darkness from our hearts and minds. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have defeated death and set your people free. You are the Savior of the world. Now, what's going to happen now is that we're going to, you get a chance now to write the names of loved ones that you want to remember. If they're legible, I'll do my best to read them out. If they're not, I will just kind of go, and we remember all these people too, and that's fine too. And so you have the option of doing that, and then that will be at the end. So Joey's going to play, and then at the end of that, I will come and collect from you. So I'll be masked, and I will come with a big bowl, and I will extend it out, and you pop the sheets into that, and then I will take them from you. So that's just how that will work. For those of you at home, this is an opportunity for you to either write on the chat online, or if you want to just remember out loud when we come to that part in the service, you'll have the opportunity then to remember your loved ones also.